Welcome to another exciting episode of eBay Task Force with your co-hosts Scott Patton and Tim Knox. And we discuss all sorts of interesting, wonderful things about how to make money and profit on eBay. Hey, Tim, how are you doing today?
Good, Scott. How are you?
Excellent. And we were just sort of looking at some of the latest news. You know, we like to go to Google News, check out, you know, what people are talking about, what's been hitting the news, what's sort of current, because we want to make sure we're bringing the most current issues to our listeners. And I noticed kind of an alarming trend, and I just wanted to talk to you a bit about it, Tim, because I think I'm not alone in having this concern. And in two of the top five news articles that came up at Google News, one was on counterfeit items being sold on eBay, and the other was on someone being a fraud on eBay, I guess defrauding his customers. So I guess security on eBay is, security on the Internet, security on any sort of online transaction or even an offline transaction is always an issue, you know, protecting your credit card and your bank statements and that sort of thing. But just thought maybe that would be a really good topic for us to talk about today.
Okay. And you're 100% right. You know, one of the big concerns of people who are buying on the Internet is fraud and credibility. And, you know, people, and I see this in our business all the time, people are very wary if you sell online,
yeah.
You know, because they can't just walk back into your store and find you. You know, you're out right there in cyberspace. So if there is a problem, you know, people are very wary. And, you know, that happens a lot on eBay simply because eBay is such a big marketplace. And, you know, eBay does, I think they do everything within their power to police the website and to keep instances of fraud down. Unfortunately, eBay, it's like I used to tell my little brother when he and I would get in trouble, Daddy can't be in all places at once.
Right.
So if we're going to start some trouble over here and he comes, we're going to go over there. So, you know, eBay really relies on the community to let them know when there is a problem.
Right.
And often by the time that happens, it may be too late. You know, you as the buyer really have to take it upon yourself to look out for yourself because eBay's just not going to do it. You know, if they detect that fraud is being done and someone is stealing, et cetera, they will take measures to shut that person down and get them off of the eBay community. But, again, when it comes right down to it, Scott, it's up to you to be your own first line of defense.
Right, right. So if you were, let's say that you're new to eBay, right, because that would be someone who doesn't have a lot of experience, you want to buy something, what are some of the things that you would look at when you're looking at different auctions or maybe a Buy Me button or an eBay store before you would, you know, kind of hand over your money?
Sure. Well, you know, the very first thing you want to look at is the feedback rating
of
the seller.
Of course.
And, you know, that's one good thing about the eBay system is they use the feedback rating. You know, it's done to give you an idea of what kind of seller you're dealing with. Now, you know, when you leave feedback, you can leave positive, negative, or neutral. And when you go to eBay, you can see the seller's ID and you can see their feedback there. And you can click on that little icon to get the entire breakdown on how many positives they have, how many negatives they have, how many neutrals they have. You can read the comments of their former customers to find out, you know, what the customers are saying. I always pay attention also to the comments that the seller returned. For example, if I saw someone that had a negative feedback, you know, you can click and there may be a message there from the seller or from the buyer that says, I didn't receive my product on time. Well, if the buyer leaves a message like, hey, it's because you're an idiot, you know, it's an immediate
right
red flag. You know, that
right
tells you a little something about how that seller handles customer service.
Right.
Okay? The smart seller, the ones that are in the business for the long haul, they approach their feedback. I mean, it's their goal. You know, they will do everything humanly possible to ensure that they always get positive feedback. Now, that's not always the case because, to be honest with you, some buyers are idiots, just as I said.
Yeah.
You know, they will – you can never satisfy them. There are buyers there. We've heard tales of buyers who will literally tell a seller, if you don't give me a discount or if you don't do this, I'm going to give you bad feedback.
Right.
I'm going to give you negative feedback. So what you have to look at is that seller's feedback as a whole. You know, if this seller has 100 feedbacks and 95% are positive and only 4 or 5 are negative, look at the negative ones and see. Maybe it was a misunderstanding. And, again, remember that on the web, people, they knee-jerk. You know, they'll have a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they'll say a lot of things that aren't true. Case in point, we sell a DVD series, and a lady ordered one last week, and we sent it out to her, and we always send an email that has a UPS tracking number. Well, we got an email back from this lady just blasting us that, you know, our product was crap, and she wanted to return it, and we were scammers, and we checked, and she hasn't even gotten her product from us yet. She was confusing us with somebody else.
Right.
You know, so we were what I call crap by proxy. Okay.
Right.
but always do it. But, you know, the first line of defense is check out the seller. You know, look at the feedback rating. What I always like to do, especially if it's a higher ticket item, is open a dialogue with that seller. You know, right there on the eBay sales page, you can click to ask that seller a question.
Right.
And
right.
That is all handled through eBay's internal system. I would always open up a dialogue with that seller, even if it was, you know, just to ask a question, just to get communication going. For example, if I was buying, I've bought a lot of cars on eBay Motors. One thing that I always do is I will email the seller and say, hey, will you provide a free Carfax report? And this is just a little way that I test the seller, you know, because if he is a legitimate seller, he already has that Carfax report that he would be more than happy to share it with me.
Right.
Let's say you're looking at buying a rocking horse, a child's rocking horse, and, you know, you've looked at it, the pictures look good, the description's good. You can open a dialogue with that seller just by emailing them and say, you know, hey, how old is this? Or will you ship to Alabama? Whatever.
Right.
What you're wanting to do there is just open that line of communication, get an email back from that seller so you can get a little more comfortable feeling about dealing with them.
That's right, because really people like to buy predominantly from people that they know. And so if you take the time to get to know the person that's trying to sell you something,
mm-hmm.
you can decide if you like them or not, because, I mean, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people selling that item or similar items on eBay, right?
Exactly. And, you know, if you send that seller a question and you don't get an email back, that tells you beware.
That's
you
right.
know,
That's
because
right.
the seller may be completely legitimate, but to me, a seller who doesn't check their customer support or their eBay mail daily is not going to give you the attention that you need if a problem surfaces.
Right, right.
So, again, this is just another way to check out the seller and make sure they're legitimate. And, again, you can always, if you have questions, you can always go to eBay, and if you're suspicious about something like that, you can file a report with eBay, and they'll get involved. But, you know, if you do your homework up front, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be okay. Every now and then, you know, you'll hear about a seller who had a great feedback rating and had a great business, but then had a meltdown and you know, stole everybody's money. But those are really rare.
Yeah.
They don't happen as much as they do.
And
know?
They're the same as the person that goes on vacation and the airline goes bankrupt while they're away and they're stuck.
Yeah, exactly right.
It doesn't happen that often, but it happens, and mm-hmm. and you just it's just part of life, and you hope it doesn't happen when you're going. I was also thinking about, like, the security of one of the things about eBay is they handle, and PayPal usually handle, the transactions. So
right.
you don't have to worry about the seller knowing your credit card information or your banking.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a good point because, you know, eBay now owns PayPal. So that is the preferred method of payment. If you have a problem, you can actually go to PayPal and file a claim against the seller, and PayPal will get involved. They will, for example, let's say you bought something and you did not receive it. You paid by PayPal. You can go to your PayPal account. You can file a report with PayPal, and they will put those funds on hold in the seller's account, or they will, you know, freeze the seller's account. And you have a chance to explain, you know, hey, I ordered this on this date. I paid this much for it. I was told that I would receive it in a week. It's been a month. I haven't gotten it. the seller is non-responsive, I want my money back.
Yeah.
PayPal will get involved and contact the seller and give the seller an opportunity to explain their side or to make amends and make a decision on who is in the right and who is in the wrong.
Right.
So PayPal will actually, they serve almost as a mediator,
right,
which is kind of nice as well. So,
yeah.
You know, and you can also use escrow services. There are a lot of things you can do, but, you know, those are the primary ones that I would say.
Right. And, Tim, you know, let's just put this all in perspective, too. How many transactions would you say close every day on eBay?
Oh, millions.
Millions, you know.
Yeah.
So you know, we're talking about the one or two or three that kind of, and I guess that's the thing, right? If you've got millions of transactions going through smoothly, and then there's one or two that don't, of course, that's what the news is going to pick up and going to be talking about, and that's why we picked it up and talked about it, right?
Exactly.
We checked the news, and there it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the other issues, and this is more of an, probably, it's an internet issue, but because of the size of eBay and PayPal and maybe some of the banks, it becomes an issue for them, too. We were talking about this just before we went on the air, and that was something called phishing, which isn't the same as phishing for fish, the PH phishing. So tell me exactly what that is.
Well, what phishing is let's say you get an email from PayPal,
yep,
and it looks like a PayPal email. It says it's coming from PayPal, and the subject line is something like, your PayPal account has been compromised, or
right,
your PayPal account has been limited. And the email explains to you that they have temporarily closed your PayPal account down because of suspicious activity. And the email directs you to log back into your PayPal account to re-enter your information. Well, what happens is PayPal didn't send that information to you, that email. That email came from someone who is trying to steal your identity, trying to steal your money. Because what happens is when you click the link, you are taken to a website that looks very much like PayPal, and you're prompted to enter your PayPal ID, your password, credit card information. And what happens is the bad guys on the back end of this website will then take that information. They can clean out your PayPal account. They can steal your identity. You know, they can really do you a lot of harm. And you see these emails a lot from fishers using eBay as well. You know, what they do is they play on the emotion of the eBay member. For example, you may get an email that looks like it's from eBay, and it'll have the subject line, you have been left negative feedback by, and then they'll have a name of a user there.
Oh, yeah.
And the email says, you have been left email by JoeBlow123. To respond to this email, click here. Now, of course, if you're not in this business and you're not aware of these scams, chances are you might click on that email, on that link, go to the fake eBay site, give all your information, and again, you've suffered identity theft. So, you know, you need to remember eBay, PayPal, AOL, all of these guys will never ask for your password, okay? They've got your password. They know it.
Yeah.
There's no need for you to enter, you know, to do that. So always be very careful. If there's a doubt, especially with eBay or PayPal, you can not click on that link, but just go directly to your account, log in as you normally would, and it will tell you if you have a problem or not.
That's right. I was going to say, I've got a number of those from PayPal and eBay lately, and the first time what I did was I went to eBay, I know, www.ebay.com, right? I didn't click on any links, went in, because what I remember them telling us at eBay Live about a year and a half ago was, even if we do send you an email, we will always email your account a copy of it. So if you get an email from us, go and check in your account and make sure that that email is there, and it's not from somebody else. And sure enough, I would go and I would look, and there's no new email. There's no email from eBay. There's no email from PayPal saying, you know, the account's closed. There's none of that stuff. And I'm going, wow, you know, I'm sure glad I didn't click on that link, because who knows what would have happened and everything else. But it sure looks like, I mean, they do a very good job of making it look like it's legitimate, right? And
yeah, they really do. And if you didn't know better, if you weren't
know
in
better,
business, yeah. You know, when you consider that, you know, eBay has millions and millions of users and probably I would predict 98% of those are really, really not internet savvy.
Yeah.
They're all newbies. It is just prime for the pickings if you're a bad guy.
That's one of the themes of eBay that I'd never really looked at eBay that closely up until about a year and a half ago. And when I was at eBay Live, I mean, they kept talking about the safety of eBay, right? And really, when you look at it, they've put in a lot of features and systems to keep it their community safe.
Yeah, exactly. Now, here's a funny coincidence. I just clicked on my email, and I have an email here from PayPal Security Service. Ooh, boy, that sounds serious.
Yeah.
And the subject line of the email is restore your account access. And it looks like it came from eBay. It tells me here that it has come to our attention that your PayPal account information needs to be updated to protect your account and to reduce the instances of fraud on our website. So these phishers are actually using the fear factor of fraud to get people to log back in. And the email has a link there that, you know, on the surface it says it's paypal.com, but if I put my mouse over that link, it pops up the little help text, and it tells me that this is actually a Yahoo email address with a whole lot of things on the end of it. So that just shows you, you know, and I've gotten probably a dozen of these today. So, you know, I actually wrote an article on this. I think the title of it was "The Bad Guys Are Phishing for Your Information," and it's really true.
Well, I think this is an extremely important topic for people to be aware of, because, you know, when I get something like that, my first inclination is, of course, that I'm guilty, right? And
right.
I must have done something wrong, and I need to fix it right away. And then it's like, well, hold on, you know, been a week since I've been on eBay, so how could I be guilty of anything or use my PayPal account or any of those things, right? So, you know, don't have that knee-jerk reaction that you're guilty until proven innocent. You're innocent, and the chances are you've got no problem unless you've done something, you know, that you've set that up. But most people, it's just someone's trying to get your information. And I have two non-internet-related stories around this, because this isn't just something that you need to be aware of online. I had a friend quite a few years ago went up to a resort in Canada called Whistler, bought a beer at the pub or had dinner at the restaurant. I forget exactly what she did. And the next day, MasterCard called her, and they said, were you in France recently? She goes, I'm like, no. Why? Well, you just bought something worth $10,000 in Paris.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, the waiter had taken, you know, because she got the imprint, had written down her information and sent it off to somebody in France, and they had put the purchase through on her credit card. And, of course, the nice thing was, you know, that MasterCard said, well, you know, this doesn't look right, hold it. And they called her and contacted her, and she, you know, didn't have to pay the $10,000. But, you know, it can be done that easily, right? So, I mean, even if you're leaving the bank machines or, you know, don't just crumple up your receipts and throw them out. Like, make sure you shred them, because people look for that information. And my second story happened to me. I was at a gas station. I was paying by debit card. And three of the five people that worked at this gas station had put a little camera on the ceiling pointing down so that they would be able to see me punch in my PIN number.
Oh, wow.
And then they had, I guess, some way of swipe. When you swipe the card, they would also get the numbers off the card. And the next day, I got a call from the bank. And they said, did you go to this gas station yesterday? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, please come down to the bank. Now, you notice they didn't say, give me your credit, your card access numbers or your card numbers or anything else, right? Because that's the scam, too. Like, the offline version of the online scam is, hey, this is Citibank calling. You know, there's been a problem with your card. I need to get your access number, blah, 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 right? And then they're in, and they've got your money. So I went down to the bank, and they said, yeah, these people had been taking pictures of everybody or filming everybody signing in their number, so we have to give you a new card, and we need to get you a new number and destroy the old card, because they've got all the information. They can access your money any time. And they've been arrested. That's why they knew it. You know, but you never know, like, did they get arrested before they gave all the information to someone else that nobody knew, or after, right? So the bank wasn't taking any chances at all. It just turned off all, he said, they actually told me, he said, your card won't work. We turned it off. Now you got to come in and get another card, right? So, yeah, so that's how that all worked.
Right. Well, you know, it's kind of funny when the internet, really when e-commerce first started, people were very wary to give their credit card information online or over the phone.
Yeah.
But they don't hesitate to hand their credit card to some waiter who disappears into the back room with it for 15 minutes.
That's right.
You know? So I'm much more comfortable purchasing online than I am handing my credit card out at a restaurant.
It's interesting, eh? Great. Well, thank you very much, Tim. I think this has just been a very, very informative episode, and I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to join me and on our podcast.
Happy to do it.
And so this is Scott Patton and Tim Knox saying thank you very much. I appreciate you joining us. Make sure you head over to ebay.podomatic.com. Leave some comments. If you've got any questions for Tim or myself about eBay, leave them in the comment section there, or you can email ebay@podomatic.com, and we'll get those, and we'll put them on a future podcast. So thank you very much, and goodbye for now. Get on eBay and start selling. Bye.